The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us this morning. Well, I guess the question around the St. Louis metro area is, when did you wake up this morning? If you noticed the hail and the wind and the rain, it may have been somewhere out in the western region, somewhere around 2:15, 2:30. South City, where I happen to live, it was about 2:45. And I don't know where it was where Pastor Schmidtke lives, but look, judging by the quality of your eyes this morning, I would say probably early.
About the same, yeah, 2:45, 3 o'clock, yeah, it was booming.
And I'm not one of those guys that can roll over and go back to sleep. I got to turn on the news, and I got to watch the, and it's the same red dot.
Sure.
It's the same red dot, hours and hours of this red dot on the screen. It's now moving into Litchfield.
You want to track it.
Yes.
So, amateur forecaster.
Yeah, you know, so we're both a little bleary-eyed and wanting sleep this morning. How are you, my friend? Pastor John Schmidtke serves at Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in the city of St. Louis. How you been?
I'm well. Things are well. They're really, really busy, but they're well.
It is well
with my soul.
Yeah, as it goes. So what do you know these days? You've got, it was the charter school you guys.
We were able to get a charter school started. It's going well, and there's been great carryover into the church. I mean, not a charter school is a public school, so it's not in that way, but those who go to the school have gotten to know, because we exist in the same building, have gotten to know who we are at Bethlehem, which is what we were hoping for, and through that, we've been able to witness to Christ through our after-school program outside of the school hours. And that has been a great delight to see new people and help people get connected with the Savior.
Well, Ecclesiastes 10 is our assignment. Now, affirm me, Pastor. Tell me that you love Ecclesiastes 2.
I like parts of Ecclesiastes. I didn't like this part.
Really?
But I think you know, I think God gave me something through something you said already this morning when we were coming in, and now as I look at my notes, I think that's the word that makes sense. And that was when you said, you're talking about, you know, a man at the end of his life, Solomon, and looking at things that worked and didn't, and time, some well spent, but a lot of time not well spent, and reflecting on those things that were wise and those things that were foolish. You know, that those are two interesting words, foolish and wise. Wise doesn't get our attention because wise just sort of is, you know, everyone wants to be wise. That's nice. But don't call me a fool. That gets my attention.
That's true.
And yet, you know, probably every one of us can quickly identify into this chapter and really Ecclesiastes about what foolishness is and unwise living. I mean, we're good at it. We live it every day. And the decisions we make and what we do with our time, as we get close to, if you stay away from the Word of God, it won't make a lot of sense to you. But if you're near the Word of God, that's where the Holy Spirit comes and indicts us and you know, points us back and says, oh, you see, you know, I mean, what a mess that was. I mean, it didn't seem like a mess at that time when you were involved in it. You felt like, hey, this is okay, this is good, or I can get through this, you know, God will approve it and no one will know about it. But then you look back later and you say, oh, what a waste I did there. And that's, I think, something, and you see that, let me just say this yet, and then we need to pray. I think here's where you had a really wise comment this morning. You see that after you've lived life. You see that in age. You know, when you're younger and ripping and running and you're in the midst of life, you're going for the gusto and you're trying to get everything you can, both possession wise and experientially. But then as you go later down the line and you realize that 24 hours really are 24 hours, and how you're going to spend that 24 hours is finite. And even as hard as we try to, I'm very much a guilty person of that, we can't extend it further. And then you look back and you say, oh man, I could have used this time here for the Lord's purposes. Well, I think we need to pray so we can get to this scripture. Make us wise, O God, unto your word, and awaken and make obvious our foolishness. Because only in our foolishness will we run back to you and know how much you love us, and then be filled with your Spirit, who then turns around and makes us wise again. And fill us with the wisdom that your Spirit gives, the wisdom of living a humble life that is constantly dependent on Jesus, a humble life that recognizes who we are, but then recognizes who Jesus is despite who we are. And that life of faith, Lord, it makes its foolishness to the world. They don't get it. They don't get the cross. They don't get the empty tomb. But to us, by faith that you've given us, it's nothing less than your power, God, upon our lives. So, Holy Spirit, open the treasure of your scripture in this hour, that we may understand your word, and then leaving this text, be doers and livers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. 505-7850. Excuse me. 1-800-7... It's that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, 55 one day. What was it, 70? And it's going to be 19 tonight? Boy, we're all going to sound like this tomorrow. So I apologize for the quality of the voice today, but we still have a very good study to go through. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727 or KFUO at KFUO.org. A lesser pastor would not have come in this morning, but John Mitchell, here he is, enduring all. You know, there's that old bit of folk wisdom out there that goes something to the effect of ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
And I know this is true because there are so many happy people out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Solomon affirms that bit of folk wisdom, but There is a difference to be made between that sort of silly type of happiness that one has when they first walk out of the iTunes or the Apple store with their new iPad, and the happiness that someone has who has the faith of Christ in their heart, who can endure tough times and bad situations and even untenable weather like we had overnight.
Yeah.
What brings that distinction?
Well, what changes and gives hope, you're talking about hope, is Christ, is the faith that we have in Christ, that by his death and resurrection we're God's children, and as he's put his Holy Spirit in us to direct us and to fill us, and that he would stay and he would be faithful to us and walk with us even despite our disobedience, even despite our foolishness. You know, as we come to this chapter, there's a glue. Sometimes chapters are breaks, you know, the end of chapter 9, beginning of chapter 10. But I think as we get started reading here, it would be useful to start at chapter 9, verse 18, and then go into verse 1 of chapter 10. The first, let's call this reflections on foolishness. Reflections on foolishness. I think that you brought us home with that. Let's start at 9:18 and 10:1 and catch a first one.
Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left.
Let's pause there. Let's backtrack a minute. There's something in chapter 18 when he says at the end of it, but he says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Put in your mind that last phrase, one sinner destroys much good. One, just one. Some would say, oh, well, what's one? You know, one among many. But he says, just one. And then he goes into chapter 10 saying, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. And then he says, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. I think there's a parallelism here. Dead flies, a few dead flies that get into your perfume, you don't use the perfume anymore. It messes it up. And then he says, so it also a little foolishness. You and I would say a little foolishness isn't bad. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, as long as it's not my daily habit.
So we bring the cruise ship a little bit closer to the island. So what could happen?
But, you know, in day-to-day life, a little sin, a little, and that's the devil's open door. A little foolishness is dangerous. Boy, that hits home. You know, when you think about reflections of foolishness, how many times did I think that I could flirt with what was sinful? Flirt. And it was so foolish, he says. I got caught. I started thinking about that illustration that's in the scripture a few times, Galatians chapter 5, I think it is. I know it's in 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Remember this? That same chapter, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, where there was a man who was involved in some real sexual immorality with a stepmother, and just a mess. And Paul comes in and he says this. Remember these words? Do you not know that a little leaven, just a little, leavens the whole lump of dough? And so, what does Paul say? He says, clean out the old leaven, or let me say it different: clean out the old little leaven, so that you may be a new lump. You can't be a new lump if you leave a little foolishness. Man, that's wise. Oh, we hear you, Solomon. How many times we've been down that same road, past tense? How many times do we still go down that road, present tense? And watch out, how many times are we going to be tempted to go down that road in the days ahead? Solomon, wise old man, says, don't do it.
You know, the opposite of wisdom, you know, insanity. What's that old, speaking of folk wisdom, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, but each time expecting a different outcome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, that's the life we live, and the life that's sinful. I mean, that's what we're caught in the Romans 7 picture. The good that I want to do, I don't end up doing, and the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. But that doesn't become a permissive thing to say, well, just keep doing it. You know, maybe at some point it all clean up. Yeah. And then as he goes on, you read further. Let's jump. Can we go to verse 2, chapter 10, verse 2? Little something here. Read that, but let's go back to that.
Yeah, a wise man's heart inclines to the right, but a fool's heart inclines to the left.
Okay, now I was missing this thing until I checked some parallel passages here. What's the right and what's the left there? And I think what he's saying, we get help from in Psalm 16, verse 8. Let me read that to you. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And that's not the only place that appears. Throughout the scripture, the right hand, sometimes it's called the hand of power. Let's think of it in this way. The right hand, the hand of protection. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right. The right as where God is, where God's protective power takes care of me, where I'm totally in his hands. But the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. Well, why would anyone go to the left? Because on the right, while I'm protected, I'm also controlled by him. But on the left, that's where I want to go many times, because there I control myself. But I'm unprotected. Ah, Solomon, he's reflecting back. He says, oh, how many times how many times, you know, how many times back in, what is it, 1 Kings chapter 3, I think it was, remember where God says, ask whatever you want, and Solomon says, I want to be wise. God says, you get that, and you get riches too, you get everything, you know, because you've asked for what it was. But the problem, the shame of it was, and we can't throw stones because we would have been in that same place, it was wisdom known, but not wisdom practiced. Let's go on now and take another piece. Let's go to verse 3. One more short piece, and then we're going to go 4 through 7.
Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool.
Yeah, and that picks up from what we just talked about, the right hand, where, you know, where if a wise man's heart directs him toward the right, to where God is. In other words, to say this, wisdom is in the Lord, as opposed to being wise of myself. Now, he's going to kind of apply that further when he says in verse 4, if the ruler's tempter rises against you, if the ruler's temper rises against you, my version says, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, like an error which goes forth from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. Oh man, he's got a whole bunch of stuff here.
Oh yeah.
Let's back up. He says, if the ruler's temper rises against you, verse 4, what does he say?
Stand your ground,
yeah.
But be calm.
But be calm, yeah. Don't abandon your position. Stay on your post. Be calm. Man, you just hit me again, Solomon. How many times did I live by the foolishness of my impulses and reactions? How many times, and he says the ruler's temper, how many times in the face of anger did I get into a dueling game of whether I could get you worse than you got me?
Well, let's see. I've been on a bed this morning for what? if it were 2:30, about 8 hours, yeah.
Reflections of a foolishness. He's got it. And then look what he goes to from there. He says, there's an evil I have seen under the sun, like an air which goes forth from the ruler. Folly, here, check this out. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. Princes don't normally walk. What do they normally do?
They ride.
They ride. And slaves don't normally ride. What do they normally do?
They walk.
Exactly. And so I think here's where he's going. I thought that worldly position automatically indicates that you're wise or godly. But it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that demonstrates itself.
I mean, we are very much impressed by people who have position and who have things. We're impressed by people who get the press. You know, we're impressed, I mean, because the media puts that out to us, you know. Here's the person. Look at this person, you know. Let's say it even in a positive way. The person who does a lot of good maybe has some buildings named after them. But is that enough? That's not wisdom. Because you can do a lot of good things and miss the kingdom if you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, back to chapter 9, the wise man who saves the city, his wisdom is soon forgotten.
Yeah.
Because the city gets back to business.
Yeah, exactly. But you think about you know, in the realm of those people in sports and celebrity and how we're guided by, you know, who they are and what they do and what they wear. And or let's back that off. No, that's too cheap of one. Here, we're guided by their behavior. Well, they did it. It must not be so bad. And so Solomon shakes his head. How many times? How many times did I see, you know, how many times did I think, well, because so-and-so, you know, that's okay for me. Instead of, then I'm ruled by my God and his word.
I don't remember where I picked this up. It was the last couple of days doing some work for the Ask the Pastor part of the program. And someone was reporting, one of these entertainment magazines, that the number one choice for a tattoo in Hollywood right now, you know what it is?
No.
It's the words, no regrets. Among the high-end tattoo people that do the art, the you know, the entertainers and the fancy folk you're talking about.
Work with that a minute.
No regrets.
Work with that a minute. I mean, do you have any regrets?
Oh, yes. Oh, gracious. I think that's how we started our morning out before the program began. Yeah.
Understatement, yeah. We all have regrets. If you have no regrets, there's something wrong. Because there were things in life to regret. And there still are things in life to regret. You know, and that's where maybe as we go, you know, how do you have, when people say no regrets, what do they mean by that? Many times they mean, well, you know, I did what I did, and I did it at the moment that I did, and that's the way I did it, you know? As opposed to, there's something real close there that Christians have. It's not no regrets. What Christians have is satisfaction. Satisfaction isn't about, because, well, I have no regrets, where I sort of see something that was really foolish, like Solomon's reflecting on, and say, well, it wasn't really foolish. I was just young and all that. No, it was foolish. It was sin. It was wrong. But see, my and your satisfaction comes from Christ in this sense, that even though we were foolish, even though we were yet sinners, he never turned his back on us. In fact, he did just the opposite. He didn't just turn, you know, keep his eye on us. He comes in a mission to us right here in this world to bring salvation and life. And he goes on a mission that's going to cost him. And he goes on a mission that's going to hurt him. It's not in any way passive. It's in every way intentional and purposeful and costly love for you and me. All for this, that through the cross, you and I, after we had foolishness this morning or last night or the foolishness you'll have tomorrow, through confessing our sins and remembering that the cross paid for every one of them, we can sigh and say, I'm okay because of him. Because of him. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom.
No, that's also something that's in short supply.
Yeah.
Contentment.
We're thinking about reflections at the end of life. You gave me it. I mean, I think this nails it, Roland. Reflections of a man named Solomon at the end of life. And we can all lock into that. Reflections of foolishness. How can you feel any satisfaction or any calm through that? Well, you'll never feel it on the basis of your record. But when you think about Christ Jesus and what he did to not just forgive you once, but again and again and again, well, that's peace. That's completeness.
That's Pastor John Schmidtke from Bethlehem Lutheran Church right here in the city of St. Louis. You can join us at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can reach us by way of email at kfuo@kfuo.org. We have just a few seconds before we go to the break. We are going to attempt, and I say, I told you when you came in, that I kind of rushed through this, because here we are just, what, seven verses, and we could do the rest of the hour just on what we've read so far. but we have a bit of time to spend
right
here in the next segment.
We're coming back with foolishness about work.
Well, let's just go and play golf then. No, it's a little windy today. Maybe putt-putt. Indoor putt-putt golf today. At least golf is golf. Who knows? Come on in and join us during the break. Again, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back after these few short messages.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. Contact our gift planning specialist to learn more.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
You feel petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments, not knowing what to do. You do nothing. But if you do something, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? Popular country singer Woody Guthrie sang the song I Saw the Light as a kind of an autobiography. This hard-drinking, womanizing entertainer was supposed to have recorded this song while he was drying out once. Guthrie didn't outlive this song too many years, and there is little outward evidence that he had changed his life for the sake of Jesus, as he acknowledges in the song. But Woody's story does help us to understand how complicated a Christian calling can be. There are all kinds of disqualifying reasons for people to believe that would keep them or others from truly serving God. It may surprise you that several of God's prophets saw themselves similarly disqualified at the time when they saw the light. Here are the words of the prophet Isaiah. "And I said, Woe to me, for I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I heard a preacher explaining once that Isaiah had a penchant for foul language, and that's why he attempted to disqualify himself from God's service at the start. But then God did something powerful to the prophet. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." You can still hear some pretty earthy things in the remaining 60 chapters of Isaiah's book, but he became earthy for the sake of the kingdom of God. Let's pray about this. Lord, help us, we pray, to understand that you call us just as we are and then draw upon us to follow. Help us not so much to rely on you to clean up our act as we do to behold you taking us up and then to live as one redeemed. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who only asks us to follow him. Amen.
Welcome back. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Pastor John Schmidtke of Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in the city of St. Louis, our guest this morning as we work our way through Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And again, thank you for pointing this out to me, Pastor, but I did not mean to sound as if I was rushing you through the text. I was criticizing myself because, you know, we're covering these 12 chapters in about 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many people thought, well, who would want to spend an entire month in the book of Ecclesiastes? But you've gone through the first 7 verses, and we really could spend the rest of the day talking about what the content of this is.
It's tough because there's so many pictures in it, so many word pictures. And when you get into the wisdom literature, you know, similar to like when you get the parables, although the parables, you get a little bit more clarity because oftentimes you get a little application at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But here it's kind of all over at different times.
Well, he's sounding very proverbial.
Proverbial. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's pick up at verse 8. And how far would
let's
you like me to
8
go?
8 to 11.
8
next.
To 11, all right. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt, and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed.
That last part where you said if the iron is dull, the picture is sort of an axe.
Yeah.
You know, because a little bit up there he was speaking about, where was it, splitting logs, the end of verse 9. Now, what do you make of this? What do you make of this? And this is kind of as you come into the scripture and you're trying to figure out, okay, where is he coming from here? He gives you four pictures. He who quarries stones may be hurt. He who splits logs may be endangered. Missed the first one in verse 8.
He
who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. You think about, you know, let's say if you're doing some restoration work and you're gutting something, who knows what's in the wall?
Want to see my scar?
Exactly.
Been there, done that, yeah.
So what's he talking about there? Well, all four things have to do with work.
Yeah.
And then, but take a step further, what's the problem in all four? What's he saying? The pit, you may fall into it. The wall, maybe a serpent in it. As you're quarrying stone, maybe hurt by it. As you split logs, maybe endangered by them.
Well, I'd venture a guess. I'd say stuff happens. Life is rough. Get a helmet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's talking about carelessness. And it's sort of a word of caution here. See, many times what we want to do is just jump in. Oh, I'm going to do this, you know, and we're careless as we go forward. And he says, taking precautions is wise.
I get you now.
The details are wise. In other words, here's this man at the end of his life, reflecting on life. And he said, how many times did I just bust through to try to deal with a project or deal with a person without taking care and taking caution?
So I married that woman to keep peace with whomever, and now she's building altars in the high places of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Solomon.
Yeah.
I've got all these wives. I didn't pay attention. They all look good, and I loved every one of them. You know, but I didn't pay attention to God when he said, don't do it. You know, and remember what he said. I just was there. I was in 1 Kings 3 preaching a couple of weeks ago at Bethlehem. And where the context there is where he talks about, he says, where God talks about to Solomon, God's big deal is not, I mean, his big deal is not, don't have lots of wives. Although, you know, God is a God of monogamy. But his big deal is these foreign wives are going to take you away from me. And probably if you have 300-400 of them, for sure. I mean, as well as the fact that they're foreign and they worship in different places. And that's a strain. Take care. Take care as you start a family.
You tell me, Pastor, this just struck me. Do you see, I mean, we have two chapters to go still in Ecclesiastes, but do you see Solomon as simply the old man at the end of his life going, don't make the same mistakes I did? Or is this an epitaph of repentance?
Oh, it's both. It's both. I mean, ask yourself the question. You know, when you know, we've been around, you shared your birthday, and
yeah,
my birthday comes up this year. It'll be a half a century for me this year, too.
Congratulations. Why do you look so much better than
you.
I do?
No, we... But as we sit, you know what I mean? As we reflect, how do you feel?
Yeah.
How do you feel as you look back? As you look back and you think about the regrets.
Yeah, 50 will make you leave adolescence, won't it?
It you know, and yet at the same time, while it makes you leave adolescence in a way, you still keep flipping back.
Oh yeah,
still keep flipping back to where you were, and where you are, and I mean that brings you where that flips you then, is that you're so grateful that we have a God of grace, and yet the God of grace who forgives me, and cleans me up, and restarts me, he sort of looks at me and he says, so. You're still not getting it? Why are you putting yourself... Here's something really foolish. He says, why do you keep putting yourself through all that stupidity? And, you know, you're hearing me out there in Radio Land. You know, you do it and I do it. Why? Listen to what he says at verse 10. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Man, those are true words.
Yep.
Why didn't I just pay attention, not just to what's wise, but to the person who tells me who's wise, the Lord? Why don't I just pay attention to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the rest? Why don't I just pay attention to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding? Well, but see, in my own understanding, I'm going to jam this square peg through the round hole. I'm going to do it. If I jam it and I'm aggressive enough, I'll get it through no matter what I break in the process.
Force makes everything better, don't you think, Pastor?
Yeah. But here's this man. I think your repentance is right on target, and regret to say, why not go God's way? And then look what he says at the end of verse 10. He says, wisdom has the advantage of giving success. You know what that almost sounds to me like? That sounds to me like all the way back to the beginning of the book of Psalms. The first. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That's the person who's blessed. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it there's wisdom. And in his law there's wisdom. He meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. See, the truth of the matter is, that's a wise word. The second truth of the matter is, I want the last line, but I don't want the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 first ones. See, because I want to walk my way, and I want to go into whatever councils I want to go, wicked or not.
Do you know why we are this way?
I was born this way.
Well, true, but there are some enablers that culture gives us.
True.
Sliced bread in a bag.
What?
You said we want the success. We don't want everything that comes before it. You know, there was a time we used to bake our own bread.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't think my kids have ever seen anyone bake bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we expect the convenience. We expect to walk into fill-in-the-blank grocery store and shell, not just a loaf of sliced bread in a bag, but dozens of different brands.
Yeah.
Different brands of that. So we encourage this everywhere we turn, this idea of we want the success.
Yeah.
We demand the success. We are owed the success.
Yes.
But nothing has to come before it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the success comes from God as a gift. And the success comes, I mean, let's change that success, because that's such a... People mean different things are messed up.
You have to define
your
terms, yes.
But what we're talking about is the life of blessing. Or, you know what? You can nail it in one word if you understand what the Bible says about this word. And that would be the Hebrew word shalom, peace, completeness. Where does completeness come from? It doesn't come from a thing or a formula. It comes from a relationship. And that's a really important concept. See, if it comes from a formula, then you got to keep redoing the formula, and then the formula at some point, you know, the things that worked in the past won't work now. If it comes, if peace comes from something that I do, well, as you get older, I don't do it as much, and I wear out. I can't do what I used to do to to get to the same level of peace. But if peace comes from a relationship, which it does, of God through Christ Jesus, then peace is something that continually is given to me, and God comes and meets me in every place of where I'm short, and he covers me in every way and puts me at peace because of his grace.
You know, Solomon must have had to deal with some really thick people in his day. Because when you get to verse 11, if the serpent
no
bites before
me
its
or
charmed,
you.
There is no advantage to the charmer. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, because what happens when the snake bites?
Ouch.
No, that's it. Lights out. You know, because what's the point in charming a tame snake or
right.
a non-lethal snake?
Right.
There's no entertainment
right.
in it. Right. You know, it's like going to NASCAR. It's not for the race. It's for the crash.
That's right. Well, there's two more pieces of foolishness here that he's reflecting on, reflections of foolishness from this older man and repentance, like you said. Let's go to the next chunk, which is 12 to 15.
All right.
Here's a good one.
Excuse me. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. And the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what it is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. What?
Let's quick contrast that with two words from Proverbs. Proverbs 10:32. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. And then Proverbs 25:11, you know this one. Like apples of gold in settings of silver, so is a word spoken in right circumstances. He's talking about foolish talk. Oh, man.
None of that around here. No, sir.
Think about your life and the things you said to people and the things you plain out said. You know, foolish talk and the way in which you said it, not just what you said, and the context in which you said it. How many times foolish talk did my pride get the best of me, and what came out of my mouth wasn't really me, but it was, I had to compensate because they got me on the last one, and I'm going to get them on this one, you know?
Yeah, you regret yelling at your wife? But she deserved it.
or you know, when you try to apologize or you know, someone apologizes to you, you know, it's always a reciprocal thing. Well, yeah. You know, I'm sorry that I didn't do this. Okay. Now what aren't you too sorry about? Remember that time?
Just like when you didn't do this for me, I'm sorry I didn't do this for you. I'm sorry you feel that way. That's a great apology, isn't it? Yeah.
Listen to what Solomon says again.
Yeah.
12. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious. Oh, yes. But listen to this. While the lips of a fool consume him. In other words, he's shaking his head and he's saying, how many times was my talk destructive? And I thought that in what I said to other people, I was getting them. But really what I was doing was getting me.
So you went a different direction with that. I was thinking about the baby. The you know, Solomon as judge, as king, the number of people that had to come before him to argue for this or argue
sure.
for that.
Sure.
All the fools he had to suffer that had lots of empty words to try and impress the king, but had no wisdom in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you went a different direction with that.
Well, I think he's, like you said, I think this is reflection and repentance of him. And look what he says. He goes further. He says, the beginning of a person who lets his words consume him and become destructive to him. Because, see, when you say certain things, they don't only get said once. The enemy comes and replays them.
What was it that our mothers told us?
Huh?
About being careful what you say because you can't take words back.
I thought they were saying, be careful what you Twitter. Because
there you go.
Or be careful what you Facebook.
Yeah, well, then say yeah. The modern equivalent of the ancient days, the ancient wisdom we were given all those 50 years ago.
Yeah. And look what he says, verse 13, as it goes on. Let me get a head start, 12.
Yeah.
Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him, semicolon. So the thought's continuing. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness. Sticks and stones. But words will never
hurt me.
You know better than that.
Sure.
They do. It ends in wickedness. And then look what he says. He says, yet the fool multiplies words. Blah, 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 blah. 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 And he's shaking his head. Shaking his head. How many times did I get myself in trouble because I just wanted to hear myself talk? No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? That is, the fool who just keeps talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking.
I think the technical term for that is yammering.
Yammering. Another proverb came back to mind. Proverbs 13, verse 3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Solomon says, bend me, bend me, bend me.
Let's wrap up the text real quick.
16 and 20.
Yeah. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobility and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Well, after last night, that's a lot of people thinking about their sloth and indolence over the last couple of days. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Ooh, we're going to have to look at that one for a moment.
Yeah.
Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter.
He now turns thinking about leadership. And don't, you know, he's using it here as, woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad and whose princes feast in the morning. Don't see leadership only there. I mean, because otherwise you'd say, well, we don't have a king, or I'm not a king. And, you know, he's reflecting back. He's reflecting back about leadership in life. And you know about leadership. Leadership when you're a dad.
Mm.
Or leadership when you're you know, part of a team, or leadership in your church. What are those things of leadership that are foolish? He says, woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility and whose princes eat at the appropriate time for strength and not for drunkenness. Immaturity makes for a foolish leader. Immaturity. Now, don't just think age-wise. Because remember what the writer of the Hebrews said. He said, concerning him, we have much to say. That is of Melchizedek, as he was trying to explain a tough spiritual truth to the people. And it's hard to explain why, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And then he says, beginning in chapter 6, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let me pause there. Foolishness. When I look back at my life and my leadership as a godly man and my immaturity, I knew a lot of things, but I lived very few of them. he's struggling. I was undisciplined in my lifestyle. Immaturity. I was foolish in thinking that, and here's that part that you were wondering about, the thing with money. Men prepare a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry, verse 19. And money is the answer for everything. Foolish leaders think that money is the answer for everything. Not just foolish leaders out there, but foolish you and me out there think that money is the answer for everything.
Welcome to election 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the question. Hundreds, century upon century since these words were written. Still applies today.
Sure does.
That's the one thing that does seem to endure in this life is real wisdom.
We keep falling into the trap of immaturity over and over again. And then you caught the last one, the very last one. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man, for a bird of heaven will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. Sort of at the end of that, a little bird told me, you know, kind of thing. Don't curse the king.
Yeah.
Foolish. When I disrespected the office and the person. You know, when I might not like the person in the office, but I still have to respect the office. Foolish. Am I speaking to anyone in the congregation? Foolish. I don't like my boss. I still got to respect that he's my boss. Foolish. I may not really like how my parents are talking to me these days, even as an adult child, right?
No.
But I still must honor my father and my mother. Foolish. I don't like the leaders of the land, the president or the governor or the mayor, but I still have to respect Romans chapter 13, that God ordained government and that he has instituted those positions.
And not just that I don't like what they do, but often what they do is contrary to the word of God, if not hostile to it.
Yeah.
And we still have to respect them.
We still have to respect it because God ordained the government. You know, in that way, although remember, he's neither a Democrat nor a Republican. And he's looking here and he says, foolish, foolish, foolish. Even though we don't always respect the person, you know, the office we have to hold on to. I think about what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Did you hear that last part? Election year? For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. It's about by what you do, your life you live as one of God's people. Well, here's this man, Solomon, looking back on his life, regrets, of course, but also repentance. I wish it would have been different. Well, here's the good news. Because one Jesus came long ago, gave his life on the cross for you, and rose again. Your life doesn't end with regret, but it continues in repentance, and it's made clean by Christ and brought to peace.
That's Pastor John Schmidtke. Thank you, my friend. All the best to the good folks at Bethlehem Lutheran Church.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time. We'll be back with Ask the Pastor right after this.
We thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor coming up next, hour two of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.